This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. We're taking our copy of God's Word and we're going to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 says this. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Let us pray. God, as I bow my head in your presence, I've preached now for decades. A message I never look forward to is the message I'll preach today. It's a difficult message, Lord. It's a heartbreaking message. But I pray today that you would speak to men, women, boys, and girls, that every person under the sound of my voice today who doesn't know you as personal Savior would come to know you. Now, Lord, the enemy wants to do everything in his power to distract. He wants to do everything to cause confusion, even right now. God, he'll use a person. He'll use any situation to cause confusion so a person will not hear a clear proclamation of the gospel. Bind any powers that would hinder. Absorb, God, anything, Lord, that would take away from what you're trying to do. And for all you do, we're going to praise you, Lord. In the stillness of this moment, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take some time and I want to talk to you about some good things about hell. Some good things about hell. A man left for vacation in Jamaica. His wife was on a business trip and was planning to meet him there the next day. When he reached the hotel, he said, I want to send a quick email to my wife. But he couldn't really remember her email address. But he thought he had it down. And from his memory, he did the best to send an email to his wife. Unfortunately, he missed one letter. And his note was directed instead to an elderly preacher's wife whose husband had passed away the day before. When the grieving widow checked her email, she took one look at the monitor, put out a piercing scream, and fainted. At the sound, her family rushed into the room and saw the note on the screen. This is what it said. Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Your loving husband. And then he said, P.S., it sure is hot down here. One little girl said to her mother, she said, Mom, I can't marry John. She said, you can't marry John? She said, no, I can't marry John. Said, he belongs to a different religion. Mom, he belongs to a religion that doesn't even believe in hell. She said, oh, honey, you go ahead and marry him. After a little time, he will. Now, folks, I wish that hell was a laughing matter. I wish it was something that we could just continue to take lightly. Vance Havner, a preacher from days gone by, said he preached a message on hell. And he said, after I preached, a man in my church said, Brother Havner, why won't you preach about the meek and lowly Jesus? He said, friend, it's the meek and lowly Jesus who taught me about hell. It's the meek and lowly Jesus who taught me about hell. See, the subject that we never talk about, the Bible talked about 162 times. I know we don't talk about it, but I do agree with Billy Graham. If we had more hell in the pulpit, we wouldn't have as much hell in society. 162 times it's in the Bible, but listen closely. 70 of those times, the one who's talking about is Jesus. So who preached about hell more than anybody else? It was Jesus. He was the one who addressed it more than anybody else. See, 87% of Americans say they believe in God. 74% of Americans say they believe in heaven. 59% of Americans say they believe in hell. But keep in mind, folks, it's just one book. It's all taken from the same book. See, Jesus preached about it in Mark 9 and 43. Jesus preached about it in Matthew 13 and 50. Jesus preached about it in Matthew 8 and 12. Now let me make some quick statements and then I'll get to my message. Statement number one is this. It's not the will of God for people to go to hell. It's not the will of God for one person to go to hell. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because 2 Peter 3 and 9 says this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come into repentance. I want to say with great affirmation, it's not the will of God, sir, for you to go to hell. Ma'am, it's not the will of God for you to go to hell. Listen, Jesus Christ died for all people. Jesus didn't die for the elect. There is no elect. Nobody's predestined for heaven and somebody else predestined for hell. Jesus died for all people. Jesus died for all people. People just like you and me. It's not the will of God for people to go to hell. Let me tell you something else. Hell was not prepared for people. Matthew 25 and 41 said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Not you, not me. I've got good news. Hell wasn't prepared for you, but heaven was. Heaven was, because John 14 verses 1 through 3 says, I go and prepare a place for you. Hell wasn't prepared for you, but heaven was. Let me make a third statement. The third statement is this. God does not send people to hell. God's never sent one soul to hell. My loving, wonderful God, he's never sent a soul to hell, ladies and gentlemen. If a person goes to hell, they'll go as an intruder. God's never going to send one person. God never has sent one person to hell. See, I want you to know something. You'll disregard some things. You'll step over some things. You'll reject or neglect some things if a person goes to hell. You will neglect the will of God. It's not God's will. You'll neglect the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood on a cross and died for every sin that you ever have committed or ever will commit. You will literally reject or neglect the Holy Spirit, because John 16 and 8 says he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Today, many of you are listening to me and you're uncomfortable. And you're wondering why you're uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, sir. Amen. Young person, the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. You're trying to get your mind on something else, but the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. See, let me tell you something. You'll step over the will of God. You'll step over the sacrifice of Jesus. You'll step over the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you'll step over the prayers and love of others. You'll step over the prayers and love of others if you decide to go to hell. C.S. Lewis said it best. He said, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. Davy Crockett said, if you have a bad thought, tell it to go to hell, because that's where it came from anyway. But I want you to know, there's some good things in hell. You say, Pastor, you got to be kidding. There are good things in hell. Let me give you five good things in hell. First of all, there are good people in hell. There are good people in hell. Look what the Bible says in Luke 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I want you to understand something. This man did not go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. It's not wrong to possess things, but it's wrong when things possess you. He didn't go to hell because he was a rich man. He went to hell because he was a lost man. You don't go to hell because you own things. You go to hell when you let things own you. There was a certain rich man. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores. The Bible says that this beggar was laid at the rich man's gate. When I was growing up, we was poor. It was oatmeal, cornmeal, miss a meal. We were so poor, we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick somebody else's fingers. I mean, we were poor. But my mother would do something every year on Halloween. She'd give me a little of her lipstick makeup, and I'd make my face up a little bit. And then she'd put us kids, and we'd go into a nice neighborhood. We'd go into a rich neighborhood, and she'd drop us. We'd knock on the door and say, trick or treat, and I'd take my paper sack and get some candy in the sack. We were poor. The Bible says this man was rich, and this beggar laid at his gate. Now, you know what I would have thought? That the rich man would have said, no. I don't want these destitute people here in front of my house. Law enforcement, move them out. I don't want them here. It's a bad visual. I don't want them. But apparently he wasn't a bad guy, because he let them be there. He let them stay there. That tells me in all likelihood, he was a good man. But let me tell you something, folks. Being a good man won't take you to heaven. Being a good woman won't take you to heaven. If being good will take you to heaven, I want to ask you something. How much good do you have to do? Well, if giving will take you to heaven, how much do you have to give? What if you come up $100 short? How much good is good enough? See, folks, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. It's when we acknowledge I'm nothing but a lowly sinner. And I'm a sinner, and in my sin sent Jesus to the cross, and I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. It's when we realize that Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you what's good in hell. It's that good man. That man that was a good husband, a good father, but he never got around to accepting Jesus Christ. He was the head of the civic club. He was a good man in the community, but he never got around to accepting Jesus Christ. There's some good things in hell. That good moral man or woman who never accepted Christ. Let me tell you the second good thing in hell. Good visions in hell. Good visions in hell. For a while, folks, I couldn't see. My vision was bad. But I met a Jewish doctor. And this Jewish doctor said, I can fix your vision. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, no. I can fix your vision. And you will be able to see great. I said, you got to be kidding. No. And so I can stand right here now. Right back there, I see Joel Byram on the back row. Ray Bittrick, you told me you was going to get back. I see you right there in front of Joel. See, I see. So see, I can see you when you're sleeping while I'm preaching. I can see when you're texting. I can see when you're talking to somebody. I can see when you bolt out of here. Has there been a fire? Should I evacuate the building the way they're leaving? That's why we've taken our foyer, our churches. We're out of space. We have a exploratory building committee, and we've made the foyer a sanctuary, a worship center. That's why I said, don't be back there walking around. Don't be back there talking in that foyer. If I see you doing that, I'm just going to slap you. In Jesus' name, of course. But people are back there. They've got seats. They can't have that seat right there because you've got that seat. But they're back there. Why would we want to disturb them? They're back there trying to worship. See, I've got good vision. I can even see them. They're back there and they say, oh, pastor can't see me. But oh, yes, I can see them because I've got good vision. Can I tell you something? People in hell got good vision. You say, what are you talking about? Wait. And it came to pass that the beggar died. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. He was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. People that are in hell can see their loved ones in heaven. A daddy in hell sees his wife and children in heaven. A woman in hell says, oh, I see mama over in heaven. Well, pastor, what about people in heaven? Can they see into hell? No, no, no. Because the Bible says in Revelation 21 and 4, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no more crying in heaven. Because if you could see, there would be sadness and there would be crying. The people in heaven, they can't see what's in hell. But the people that are in hell, they can see what's happening in heaven. Good vision. I'll tell you what else is in hell. Good memories. Good memories. Look what verse 25 says. But Abraham said, son, remember in thy lifetime, thou receivest good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. I was living on Smithville Road in McMinnville, Tennessee. Leave that verse. I was on Smithville Road in McMinnville, Tennessee. I saw two men walk up and they had a booklet with them, literature. And they were dressed nice. I knew they probably weren't Baptist, Methodist, or Church of God because we don't do that stuff. And they walked up and they said, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. And we want to talk to you about the Bible. I was a young preacher, high energy, low IQ. I didn't know anything. But they said, we want to talk to you. And they began to tell me that there's no hell. And I said, wait, look, take the Bible. These two men, one of them's comforted, one of them's tormented. I said, I'm not real smart, but it don't seem like the same place to me. And they said, we want to talk to our superior and get back with you. They must have got lost. Remember. So the man that goes to hell will remember that mom and daddy saying, I wish you'd go to church today. That man who goes to hell will remember that preacher saying, I love you. I wish you'd give your life to Christ. That man who goes to hell, that woman who goes to hell, will remember every time they shut their fist in the face of God. They'll remember every opportunity that I was out winning, I was out doing what I wanted to do. We were out having fun. God didn't matter. Church didn't matter. Yes. You don't lose your memory when you go to hell. Let me tell you the fourth thing that will be in hell. There'll be good evangelism in hell. You say, preacher, what are you talking about, good evangelism? Let me tell you something. If you and I went to hell for 5 minutes, we'd be telling everybody about Jesus Christ. Look what verse 24 says. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. That rich man said, Lazarus had sores all over his body. The dogs would come up and lick, the Bible says, those sores. And he said, I know. Lazarus took his hands and he scratched those sores. But I don't care. Can he take that finger, dip it in water, touch my tongue, because I'm tormented in this flame? It's worse than I thought it was going to be. And then he said in verse 27 and verse 28, he said, Abraham, please do me a favor. He said, what's the favor? He said, I've got 5 brothers. Please send Lazarus. Please send him. I don't want my brothers to come to this place. I made jokes about it, but it's worse than I ever thought. I don't want my brothers to come. Somebody said, I want to go to hell to party. Friend, it's not going to be a party. Amen. I want to go to heaven for climate, hell for company. You don't want the company of hell. Sir, you don't know what you're saying. Let me tell you the last thing. I would like to say again, good evangelism. It's a message for the church. Last Sunday, I preached, and I was thinking about tomorrow. I've got to get on an airplane, and I've got to go to Dallas, Texas. I've got to do a TV interview about my book, Unlimited, that's coming out very soon. Now, I got to be honest with you folks, I said I'm tired. I don't want to get on another airplane and go to Dallas, Texas. I'm not interested in doing another interview about a book. And they said, preacher, there's a man wants to see you. He walked right there. I walked up to him, he began to cry. I said, sir, what's wrong? He said, my boy's in prison. He said, my boy found your book in a puddle of water. Defy the odds. I don't know who sent it there, but thank you. He said he read your book 8 times. He said, thank you, sir. times and gave his life to Christ. He's going to be getting out, sir. He said he wants you to baptize him. The church ought to be just nobodies that's telling everybody about somebody that can change anybody. That's Jesus. Let me give you the last thing. There's good theology in hell. You say, preacher, what do you mean there's good theology in hell? Well, look what verse 30 says. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into to them from the dead, they will repent. Not they'll join the church. Not they'll get baptized. Not they'll become a good person. He said, I understand why I'm here. I'm here because I didn't repent. I'm here because I didn't acknowledge my sin and believe that Christ died for my sin and confess my sin to him. I understand. See, folks, let me say something. There are no unbelievers in hell. Everybody in hell is a believer. That they might repent. You don't go to hell, sir, over what you do. A man or woman goes to hell over what they didn't do. They didn't repent. I'm done, almost. Maurice Rollins, cardiologist. Some quack doctor. Well, he was President Eisenhower's doctor. One of the top cardiologists in the world. Practiced medicine in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But he was unapologetically an atheist. He said, I had a patient, 47 years old, a male man. And he said we had something in common. He was an atheist too. I had him doing a heart test. I had him on a treadmill, EKG. And he said literally he dropped dead. He said when he dropped dead, I had two nurses. One started putting in an IV and one started putting a breathing bag on him. He said he was dead. I started doing chest compressions on the man. And the man revived and said, I'm in hell. I'm in hell. And he started describing hell. He said, I knew it was bad, so I tried to get a pacemaker down the collarbone vein. He said, blood was shooting in every direction. And the man said, I'm in pain. I'm in hell. I'm in hell. And he said, I said to the man, don't bother me with that hell business. I'm trying to save your life. And the man said, Doc, I'm in hell. Pray for me. And the nurses looked at him. And they said, you need to pray for the man. And the atheist doctor said, Jesus, would you save this man? Jesus, would you save this man? And he said, things became tranquil. And the man was okay. And the doctor said, Maurice Rollins, that day, that man became a believer. And I did too. A man between the services, folks, I'm trying to quit. D.L. Moody said, don't preach on hell unless you can do it with tears in your eyes. I told God at 5 o'clock this morning, if I can't do it with tears in my eyes, God, don't let me do it. If I can't do it with a broken heart, God, don't let me do it. Right before this service, a man, Richard Jenkins, they said, it's imperative that he meets with you. I said, okay. He said, preacher, for years I said no to God. For years I said no to my wife. Oh, I was too busy. We were into sports. We were into everything else. I didn't have time for God. But he said, COVID came. And I was in the hospital. And I flatlined. And he said, preacher, you came and you prayed over me. I said, I remember that. And he said, preacher, I went to hell. Preacher, I went to hell. Preacher, you tell the people. They don't want to go there. Preacher, you tell the people that they want to accept Jesus. You tell the people, preacher. You tell the people that they don't want to go there. I'm telling you today, we're too busy to read the Bible. We're too busy to wait and pray. We're too busy to speak out kindly to someone by the way. We're too busy to care and struggle, to think of life to come. Too busy building our mansions to plan for the heavenly home. Too busy to help a brother who faces the winter blast. Too busy to share his burden when self in the balance is cast. Too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky. Too busy to serve the master, but not a one of us too busy to die. And friend, eternity is too long to be wrong. It's too long to be wrong. God has sent you a message today. You say, well, I'm about 95% sure. That's 100% unsure. I'm 98%. That's, no. That's 100% unsure. Sir, it don't matter what anybody thinks. What matters is you know that your heart's right with God. It don't matter what anybody thinks, ma'am. You say, well, I don't want my women to think. It don't matter what those women think. What matters is what God knows and what you know.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.